You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
In my everyday eight to five job, you know, people, they just don't listen to me. And I feel like you guys really listen to me, and you grasp onto every word I say.
We don't.
Huh.
We don't.
Whew.
How about that?
you like that?
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Jordan. Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Ladies and gentlemen, Packer fans across the universe, you are now tuned into Pack to the Future. Thanks again for tuning in. As always, I am your host, John Jameson, coming in hot with the boys, minus one. We all know who's missing. It's Jordan. He's pretty much here 20% of the time, but that's fine. We still love him.
20% is generous.
Very, very, very generous. But you know what? We still love him, and it's a special reason why he is not with us tonight. And I'll inform you guys as to what that is. Happy birthday to Jordan. Happy birthday to Jordan. Happy birthday to Jordan. Happy birthday to Jordan.
To you.
We really meant we really meant that one, guys.
That is the most soul I have ever sung with. I actually believe that.
Oh, man. But yeah, as you guys have heard, Brian Funfaro is with us. Dusty Easley is with us. Brian, how are ya?
I am super fantastic, Jonathan. Thank you. How are you,
Jonathan? I'm good. You know, it's a fresh week. We have, it's been, I'm always excited. I just love doing this with you guys. And, you know, it's like we went a couple weeks here. And as the Twitter question will a Twitter question that got sent in will pose later, it said that finally you guys are releasing your draft episode, and that is exactly what I'm saying. It's like finally we're doing this, and yeah, it's off season is very busy, and it's just like we don't always get to do this, but man, every time I get to come on here with you guys, it's just a blessing. So. I'm well. Yeah,
well,
I'm well.
We were planning on doing the draft episode last week, but since Jordan's not here, we'll blame him.
Yeah,
for all of the scheduling.
Yeah, Jordan.
So we would have been here sooner, but all on Jordan.
You know what? All's well that ends well, guys. You will finally get to hear what we think about how well or bad the Packers did in the draft. All from your favorite dudes that talk Packers football. One of my favorite dudes that talks Packers football, Dusty Easley. Hello, friend. How are ya?
Hey, what's up?
How are ya?
I'm doing good, man. You know, it's weird. I'm good. It feels like the draft was like 3 months ago. It really does. Like, I'm trying to think back on it, and it wasn't that long ago, and it feels like forever ago. So, yeah, it's good to be back here talking to you boys and talking a little Packers football, and we miss you, Jordan. I mean, so here's what happened. I want to unveil, you know, pull back the curtain a little from last week. We actually had everything recorded, and then we sent our recordings to Jordan, and he sent a video of us literally burning the tapes. We recorded on cassette tape, and Jordan burned them in his backyard. So we actually did record an episode, and Jordan maliciously burned all of them. So that's why we're weekly.
And he had that really weird smile going on too. That was kind of like Dahmer-esque.
I don't know if you noticed,
it was weird.
His eyes were blank. It was like a doll's eyes.
Yes.
Like
just, none of that bothered me as much as the mesh tank top he was wearing.
If you're gonna wear a mesh tank top, at least have it cover your stomach. Like it was a midriff, and also it was a whole thing.
But no, like he's a size XL, and he was wearing a. I mean, it was probably an extra small that he was wearing, right?
Yeah, it was a child's medium.
But I mean, in true idiot fashion, he wasn't wearing a duster just in case the fire got out of control, and he had to roll on it. So, yeah. It's just like most things.
This guy's a teacher.
Yeah, most things in life, Jordan just doesn't get it right. And number one being that he's not with us tonight. So,
oh man, we're treating him so well.
I know. This is his birthday treat.
Happy birthday, Jordan.
This is probably the nicest we've ever spoken about him.
It's gonna come out after his birthday. He'll hear it like tomorrow. It won't be his birthday anymore.
Oh, pretty ruthless tonight. I love it. Dusty, you had a very awesome opportunity to be involved with some kind of live feed with Cheesehead TV. Talk to me.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome. It was, man, I think it went like 5 or 6 hours. And it was Andy Herman, at Twitter, Scani Sports. He actually joined us on a pre-draft podcast, kind of organized this whole thing. And it was, man, I don't know how many people, like 20-some-odd people probably over the span of 5 hours, 20 or 30. And so I got to jump on at the end, and it was kind of watching the draft, watching it live, kind of reacting to everything. And I got on after the Packers pick, but I think that was kind of fun when that was actually happening. So yeah, I got to jump on with Andy Herman. See, Mark Wellner was there. Brian Caravu, CD Angeli, I believe. I can't remember exactly what his last name is. I'm sorry, CD, if you listen to this. You're awesome. yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that I've, you know, kind of emailed back and forth and known via Twitter in the Packersverse for like, you know, 4 or 5 years now. And I got to jump on with them and talk to them and meet them and just talk about the draft in general. I was on for, I think, the last – oh, Ben Klubb was there. Our own PTTF Chalk Talk was there the same time. So, yeah, it was awesome, man. I was on for about 45 minutes at the end there just talking about the draft, talking football, talking needs. We were talking before the show. I got to be on when the Seahawks took a running back instead of an offensive line. Hilarity ensued. Oh, it was tremendous. So yeah, it was great. I didn't study too much about the draft, so I kind of sat in the background and leaned into the microphone every now and then and cracked a joke about something that was not always well received. But yeah, it was amazing. Andy organized the whole thing, put the whole thing together. I think it's still up on Cheesehead TV. It's like a YouTube video if you want to watch, you know, 2 weeks after the draft reaction stuff. But he put a ton of work into that, and it was incredible. So yeah, it was. I hope he does it again next year. This was the first year for it. I hope he does it again next year because it was, I think, very well received. I think at some point, close to 300 people were watching. There's a lot of chat going. So people were like chatting in questions and all kinds of stuff. It was a blast, man. It was. I was definitely the wrong person to ask to be on that because I didn't follow the draft too closely. But I had an absolute bias. Oh, Eric Fretland. That was the other guy. Eric Fretland was on there as well. I've known him for like 3 or 4 years and never talked to him. And that was, it was just awesome. It was tremendous.
I mean, when you combine all those Packer heads into one room, it wasn't one room. I mean, I watched it for just the time that I had. I got in a little bit late that night, but I was at the Bucks victory that night. So,
oh, that's right.
But yeah, I caught a little bit of it. And I mean, it's cool to see all those Packer guys come together and give their perspective. And, I mean, obviously I think that there's general excitement around the Packers right now. And there's a lot to be excited about. And, you were just talking needs, and I think the Packers addressed some solid needs in the draft. And, we're going to get to all that draft talk this episode, but mainly now, first things first is we're talking about the franchise right here. We're talking about number 12. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Arguably the GOAT. He isn't having an argument anymore. The GOAT, Aaron Rodgers. Every single quarterback that was pretty much in line for a re-up has gotten it. And Aaron's still kind of waiting. And we just saw Matty Ice get 5 years, $150 million with a hundo guaranteed. So pretty massive contract for Matty Ice. And pretty much what I want to ask you guys is, when is this deal going to happen, and what kind of money should we be expecting Aaron Rodgers to get? Brian, I'll kick it off with you.
As far as when, I'd be kind of surprised at this point if it's not done before the season. I think there's extreme motivation on the side of the Packers and probably on the side of Aaron Rodgers as well to get this done as soon as he can. Especially, I guess, the side of Aaron Rodgers, because worst case scenario for the Packers is we have to franchise them, and no player likes that. So I'm sure there's plenty of motivation. As far as numbers, he's, what, 4 or 5 years older than Matt Ryan is? Something like that. I can't imagine him getting more than the 5 years. I'm not sure I would do 5 years, given his age. He's going to turn 35 during the season. My guess right now is maybe not as high of a total number, but higher by $1 million or $2 million per year and higher guaranteed. So I'm thinking maybe like 4 years, 125, something like that, where 110, 115 million of it. So almost all of it is guaranteed. That's where my head is. I don't know how long the Packers are going to be willing to commit to him given his age, but that's probably what I would throw out.
And Dusty, what are your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers contract fiasco?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning the same way. I think I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. I don't really listen to the Wilde and Tausch radio show because I don't. I've heard there's some good stuff on there. I guess Wilde was saying he didn't really think that was going to happen this offseason. Which I don't know if I believe, but he would know better than I would, I guess. But I mean, really, Rodgers 34, getting ready to turn 35. He's got this year and then another year left on his contract. So he'll be, he plays out this year, he'll be, entering into his year 36 season next year for the 2019 season. And that's the last year of his deal. And then you also have a couple franchise years. You could franchise him twice, and you're paying a ton, and that takes you to age 39 without ever having to sign a new deal. I'm not saying that they're going to do that. I'm saying that's just where we are in terms of his age. You could look at that and go, well, they could play out his deal and franchise him, and he takes him till 39. So to mm-hmm. me, that helps put things in perspective. I mean, the last thing I want to do, I love Aaron Rodgers, and I think when you start to talk about age, his game will age well. I think he doesn't mm-hmm. have to move all the time to be fine. He's ridiculously smart. He's got a great arm. He can play in the pocket. Even if his arm is somewhat diminished, he's so smart, and he just moves defenses around so well. We saw Manning kind of fizzle out at whatever age, 38, 39, which is not that far off. And, Favre was kind of definitely on his downhill slide around that time. I think he had one good year after that. And, Brady's still playing well, and that's, a lot of that the system. Brady's arm isn't what it was. Rodgers is different than those guys because he can move better. He is more athletic, I'd say, than any of those guys at this point in his career. So I think he can age well, but still asking anyone to play past 40 and ask them to be productive is crazy. So yeah, I think I could see 4 or 5 years with front loaded. They do have some room, so mm-hmm. I could see them front loading it. And yeah, I mean, if Ryan got there's jokes. If Ryan got $100 million guaranteed, Rodgers is signing for $200 million. I mean that's not true. Yeah, I think 4 or 5 years.
In a vacuum, that's true.
In a vacuum, that's true. But yeah, given age and vacuum, just though. Given cap stuff, yeah, I mean I could see I don't know, total contract deal, but I could see 120, 125 guaranteed. Like that wouldn't shock me in the least. But here's something I want to ask you guys, because this is something I've heard floated that I don't think has ever been done. We may have talked about it here before. What would you think about percentage of the cap? If he said, I want whatever, 25% of the cap, and then it goes up and it's whatever. I mean, that 25% is too high. Probably, 18 or whatever the devil it would be. Like, is that – what would you think of something like that? That would give him kind of a raise every year depending on how much the cap jumps. Is that something you realistically could see happening?
I don't think so, mostly because that eliminates any benefit of how much the cap has gone up by a certain amount every year. And I think that would be somewhat like his personal best interest. Yeah, probably. But in terms of our ability to win another Super Bowl while he's here, him claiming an exact percentage of the cap every year would, I think that would just kind of almost eliminate us from Super Bowl contention, because there's however many more we can't spend putting talent around him. that I just don't see how that'd be worth it. I think we'd be much better off just saying, here's your salary for that year, and we can plan ahead. And that's probably a big part of it, is they can plan ahead, and you can't do that because you don't know what exactly the salary cap's going to be next year, the year after that, the year after that. So you can't really plan, okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to make exactly this much. We have to adjust our plan accordingly.
I mean, this is my first time hearing this, Dusty, and that is so interesting. And I mean, just straight off the cuff, my initial reaction is I could honestly see Aaron doing something like that. I think that Aaron is not a by the book type player and not a by the book type person. And I think that he's kind of just, Aaron is his own person. And if this is like an idea that maybe is floating around in his head, I think that if someone can get away with it, you're talking about like I said it earlier, arguably the best player in football has the ability to create something like this and make it, you know, one of the first deals of its kind. And I think that I would honestly say that it's highly possible.
The only reason, and I'm going to shoot that down, John, I know I just floated it, but the reason I hear you walked right into my trap. The reason I don't think it's going to happen is, I mean, part of it, kind of what Brian said, that you kind of lose the flexibility of, like, not just knowing what he's going to make year to year, but, like, being able to control what he makes year to year in terms of, like, you know, we got cap space now, you can't really front load anything, is the fact that, like, that's Russ Ball's game, man. Like, Russ Ball lives with manipulating the salary cap. I can't imagine him, and again, like I said, the Rodgers, you know, has leverage because he's good, but he doesn't have leverage because he's two more years under contract and then two more years under franchise. It can take him to 39. So if he says percentage of the cap and Ball says, no, this is what we're giving you, Rodgers didn't have a lot of room to push back, because we could keep him for like another 4 years if we wanted to without having to restructure anything. It wouldn't be great, but it could be done. So yeah, my main reason why I don't think that'd be done was be just Russ Ball would not be able to sleep at night, because he's just, I can't restructure it. I can't, what can I do? I'm locked in.
He wouldn't be able to sleep tonight if he would let Rodgers leave Green Bay.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's true.
That would be the flip side of that, because if Aaron Rodgers does not retire as a Green Bay Packer, I think there's going to be, I'm not going to go into all the specifics, but it's not going to be a good time for anyone that was behind that.
Same thing we said about Favre.
You know, and we went through it, and there was some ugliness that happened, and you know, we want to avoid that at all costs. But guys, I think that I think at the end of the day, we're all just hoping that a deal gets done. Aaron Rodgers is one of those players in sports where what they bring to a team is invaluable. I mean, you're talking about guys like Aaron Rodgers, LeBron James, Sidney Crosby, like these guys. There's a cap space, and you know, everyone has their tiers and stuff, but you cannot pay these guys enough to be on your team. So, and we have one of them, and we should be extremely thankful and grateful, and just pay the man his money and on to the next thing. And the next thing is,
you know what, John? Actually, before you move on, I want to bring up one thing.
Okay,
and I want to say that, For any of our listeners that follow soccer at all, there's Major League Soccer in the U.S. Their salary cap is set up so that they have like different types of money. So they have your regular salary cap that you're not allowed to go above, but you can designate certain players as essentially as your franchise player kind of thing, where you can pay them literally anything and it doesn't count against that cap number. And I would absolutely love to see the NFL
do something
like that, so that there's no drama around paying Aaron Rodgers. You're just like, dude, this guy generates easily $40 million worth of revenue, and he won't count against the cap. Let's designate him and pay him what he deserves. I'd love to see the NFL do something like that, because that's not only your franchise getting paid and you're not worried about the cap, but that's money that can trickle down to the rest of your team, putting good players around great quarterbacks. And it's just more money for the players. I don't know if the owners would ever go for it because it would be costing them more money, but
so much more money.
The NFL generates $10 billion plus dollars per year. You can't tell me that they can't afford it. So.
My younger brother was telling me, I think he read a report or something that did some study, and Aaron Rodgers was one they were looking at. And if you're looking at like fair market value, kind of what he gives the franchise and year to year, kind of what he brings in and everything, the estimate was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $75 million a year.
Believe it. So, I absolutely believe it.
Yeah.
Absolutely believe it.
Do you guys understand the content that you are getting tonight from Back to the Future? Boom. We are Back to the Future. Come on. It's draft time, boys. It's draft time. Woo. The Packers just had a draft. I told you guys before we had our draft, before the draft happened, our pre-draft podcast, I said, this draft is going to be the difference in us being in contention this year. And I now need to hear you guys break down what you thought of that draft, because I personally,
yes,
I loved it. I said I wanted cornerback in the first round. We got a cornerback in the first round, then we got a guy in the second round who I wanted in the first round. So how am I not just freaking out right now? This is amazing. But guys, it starts with number one, the first round pick, Jaire Alexander. Personally a huge fan of his. Very excited about the pick, and I want to hear what you guys thought about the Packers taking Jaire Alexander in the first round. So Brian, kick us off, sir.
All right, well, I'll start by saying I've been preaching for almost 3 years on this podcast of drafting edge, drafting front seven early. I am bummed that we weren't able to do that. I see the reasons that we weren't, though, and I see two reasons. One, I don't think this front office was enamored with the edge talent in this draft outside of Bradley Chubb. And two, whether I agree with it or not, and I don't totally agree with it, this is how Mike Pettine builds a defense, and he builds it from the front three and the secondary. And he has a mean front three now, and he was able to address that secondary aggressively this offseason. So he's got all the elements that he needs, and that's why I love this pick. Jaire Alexander is a straight-up athlete. He is a I'll put it generously and say he is a confident young man, and I have every belief that that's all going to translate to the NFL. I think this is a great pick. Part of the reason that I love it is he doesn't fit that physical mold that Ron Wolf set how many decades ago now? Seems like a lot. Where your cornerbacks have to be 5'11" or taller. They have to be a certain weight. They have to be a certain wingspan, all that stuff. He doesn't fit all of that. And while some may look at that and say, dude, Ron Wolf was a great GM, you do everything that he tells you to do and you don't question it, this is a different time. And for the most part, they've stuck to those norms, which I think makes this pick all that much more significant. They must have believed in his talent an extraordinary amount to go outside of those physical norms and take this guy. So while I am bummed that we weren't able to get an edge early on, man, Mike Pettine has gotten everything that he asks for when starting a defense. So I see reasons to be optimistic that this defense can turn around and do it fairly quickly. And Jaire Alexander is a big part of that. This dude, I think he's going to make an impact.
Dusty, your thoughts on the Packers' first round draft pick?
Yeah, Alexander was coached by Terrell Buckley.
Yeah.
So I hate it. No, I when the pick was made, I didn't love it. And I didn't love it kind of for the reasons Brian was talking about. I mean, we've got I don't love the corners we have. I'll say that. We do have Kevin King, and we got Williams back for whatever a year, and Williams had a good year last year, and House is but I think Rollins is going to have a bounce back, and like I like some of the pieces enough to, I was like, okay, if they grab like a guy in the second or third round, like the Jackson pick, I absolutely loved. But Alexander was I like him. He's small. He was kind of injured. He's aggressive, which I think is what Pettine liked in him. We just really need edge help. Like that's really where I was at. Was there's edge rushers up at that level. we need edge help. And it shows how much I know as far as the, you know, how the draft board falls. Because who I wanted was Landry, and then, you know, Landry apparently had an injury and he fell in too early in the second round. And that's the guy I wanted. And so it was kind of, I saw Alexander, I was like, okay, we do need corner help. He is kind of small. He's probably not going to be, you know, again, he'll be aggressive. He's going to miss some plays. Generally, corners don't really play well their rookie year, or they don't play great their rookie year. It's normally their second or third year when they finally start to come around, and we kind of need help now. And you know, good rush help helps the secondary. And then as I kind of started thinking about it, as we got a little farther away, so my initial reaction was I have no problem with Alexander. I just didn't love the pick. As I kind of started thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, we picked up Beagle last year, in the draft, and he played, I think his first game he came in limited snaps, he looked really, really good. And then every game after that, you just didn't hear his name, but he picked up, you know, 10, 15 snaps a game or something like that. But I think, I don't know if they've seen something out of Beagle, or if there's hoping he gets more production this year. And you combine that with what we saw out of Reggie Gilbert last year in like the two games. Reggie Gilbert was on the practice squad all year last year. We couldn't get a pass rush, and Perry gets hurt, and like there's just no consistent pass rush. Gilbert comes in for those last two or three games and just looks like a demon, just an absolute demon off the edge. So I think that's probably what contributes. So there's multiple things. You have Daniels, Clark, Wilkerson, and maybe they're going to think Montrevious Adams take a step forward in the middle. You get that middle, you just get fresh, huge, aggressive bodies in the middle, collapse that middle, that frees up the edge. And on top of that, you have Beagle from last year, and you also have Gilbert stepping in, and you think he's going to take a step up this year. So there's your edge help. That may be – so after I kind of started thinking about that, well, Gilbert looked good and Beagle, you know, was fine when he was in and could get better this year, I was much happier with the pick. Because that's the thing. We needed help at both positions. And if we feel like we already got edge help inside, and the further away I get from it, the more I believe that's true. Yeah, I like the Alexander pick now. It took me a few days to get to that point, but I'm all in at this point.
And one thing to also consider in terms of we got edge help by helping other positions, we got edge help by switching up the scheme. We're no longer going to be dropping 15 out of 11 players into zone coverage and just saying, well, yeah, you like three people pass rushing just need to generate a pass rush. That's not going to happen anymore. We're going to have extra guys that are going to be available to blitz because we're not going to be panicking about what the secondary is going to do. We're going to have a defense that's going to focus on that middle and collapsing that middle so that our defensive ends, our edge rushers, are kind of going one-on-one. And with the state of offensive line in the NFL right now, it's not great. So you can get an average pass rush without elite players. And man, based on how good the defensive line is going to be and the secondary is going to be, I think an average pass rush would do the trick. We'll call it an adequate pass rush. And one more point to why I love this Jair Alexander pick is we also, like, we turned a third round pick into a first, guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That has to. Yeah. We turned a third round. There is nobody that we could have drafted at 14, Harold Landry included, Derwin James included, that I would rather have than having Jair Alexander and another first round pick.
Like, well, I don't know if you saw this picture, but they took the Packers posted a picture of their draft card and they had Alexander's name written on it at 14. Like, they traded back, picked up a first, and still got their guy. Like, that's
the thing. Like, some will say that we fleeced the Saints. I don't think that happened. The Saints were clearly willing to give up a lot to get their guy in their pass rusher. I can't believe nobody at 12 or 13 took that deal. But I don't know. They probably overpaid a bit, but they wanted their guy and they got him. Who I think we fleeced is Seattle, in giving up a lot less only four picks later.
Yeah.
Like, that's the trade that we really, really won. And again, like, this time next year, we're going to be talking about two first round picks or having traded those two first round picks to move way up into the first round to get somebody elite. And everybody's going to be going berserk at that point.
Yeah.
And again, they got their guy. This is who they wanted.
Yeah, they didn't settle on anybody.
Right, like, while everybody was talking about Derwin James and whoever else was available, this is who they wanted. That's how
and
much
it shows. It goes to show. It goes to show that Goot had a plan, and you know, yes, at the same time, we've seen, you know, sometimes I mean, like Justin Harrell at 16. It's like, was that really the number one guy on our board, or was that just like, all right, we have to throw a card in there, like this is it? But you know,
you're talking about the next Reggie White, John.
the bottom line is this: it's, you know, 2015, 2017, we drafted two defensive backs with the first two picks in those rounds, and we've yet to really see our secondary develop in having, you know, that type of talent drafted early on, and yep. Which leads us to say, like, we did it again in 2018, and I think we're all just kind of crossing our fingers, hoping that Jaire Alexander and that Josh Jackson pans out. How do you?
Well, here's what's different from this from 2015 is that these two guys were straight up cornerbacks. Yep. They weren't hybrids. They weren't safeties in college like Demarius Randall was. Like, you know, like, nothing against Demarius Randall, but he was a safety in college, and we drafted him and said, now you're going to be a cornerback in the pros, which is kind of a harder position. Like, hope you're ready. Like, these guys are straight up cornerbacks, and I think.
Well, what are your thoughts on Josh Jackson?
I thought it was an absolute steal. Mm-hmm. The only concern I have with him is that he spent a lot of time in zone coverage in college, not a lot of time in man coverage, and this defense will be a lot of man coverage. But his physical gifts, yep, his eye for the ball, his hands, like, all of the talent that he has for this position, he may be a little bit more of a project, but I kind of don't even think so, because there's going to be no pressure for him to step in like there was for Kevin King to step in and be the guy, because we have Kevin King, we have Tremont Williams, we have Jaire Alexander, we can kind of ride hot hands, and Josh Jackson can kind of plug in where we need him, where he needs to be, focus on correct matchups, and I don't know, something about watching this guy, I think he could be, as terrible as it is to say, I think he could be the Packers' Casey Hayward. Only this time we just won't let him go. Like, I could see him developing into a solid cover corner. He's got all the intangibles. He's got all the tangibles. His man coverage, again, might take a little bit, but in the meantime, I think you'll see him making plays, just making big things happen, even if there are some breakdowns in coverage between now and
then. What a great person to have to kind of lead these young cornerbacks with Tremont Williams being back in Green Bay. I think that's one of the biggest things about us drafting these guys early is that fact.
True. Like, these three young cornerbacks we have could not possibly ask for a better situation to be in.
Yep.
They're in a defense that is focused on cornerbacks, so you know that they're going to get a lot of attention and a lot of training. They're not an afterthought by any stretch of the imagination, and they get to learn not only from Mike Pettine, who loves coaching his cornerbacks, from some of the great cornerback coaches we have, but Tremont Williams and Devon House, who I think would be phenomenal mentors for these young
Dusty
guys. Couldn't ask for a better situation.
Dusty, you have any thoughts on Josh Jackson?
Not too many more to add. I mean, it's kind of echoing the same stuff that you guys have been talking about. I mean, Brian, you brought up the zone man stuff. Yeah, I mean, that could be, maybe it could use a little bit of polish, but he strikes me, I mean, a guy with his skill set, with just physically what it looks like he's capable of, he seems like he can do whatever he wants. Like, he might not be like a polished man defender off the bat. He'll be fine by the middle of the year. And that's the thing. He's like, he's not going to be awful. The funny thing is, you talking about zone versus man, Brian, just made me think of how Demarius Randall was really good at man and really terrible in zone. And this is, we get the opposite situation. So it's kind of an interesting flip, I think. But yeah, I mean, Jackson's a guy who, like, I would have been happy at like a 14. If that fell, like, I love how he carries himself. I love how he plays. I love the skill set he brings. I think he's going to be tremendous for him. For be able to take him in the second round after taking Alexander in the first is bonkers. Like, I was thrilled with that. Where I was kind of on the fence with Alexander at first, I saw the Jackson pick. I was like, oh, holy crap. All right, here we go. So, yeah, I'm over the moon about Jackson on the team.
Brochachos. Yep. This leads me to the last question before Twitter questions.
Okay.
What are your thoughts? Or what? Where am I going with this? Brian, who is your favorite pick that the Packers had in the draft? Let's go.
Is that where we're going to next? Are you sure?
That is where we're going to next. Promise you.
All right. My favorite pick was the next pick that we made. It was Oren Burks at linebacker. He's a third round pick. I don't know if he's going to turn out to be some Pro Bowl, you know, all pro linebacker, but it's more about what this pick represents. Oren Burks is an incredible athlete. There are a lot of people saying that he's also very smart at the position. I know he still needs to learn the position a bit because he's played a lot of safety in college and kind of moved his way forward. But this is the type of player, the type of athlete that we've been missing in the middle of this defense. I mean, he's at least already the best athlete we've had at inside linebacker since... Somebody help me out, man. It's been a long time since we've seen someone like this. Maybe Nick Barnett when he was at full health. But this is, you know, we've got these solid guys, these Jake Ryans and Blake Martinez's, and all of a sudden, boom, this guy's fast. He can change direction. He can rely on his athletic abilities a little bit, which is something that we haven't had at the inside linebacker position. We've forced a lot of young late picks or undrafted guys to essentially make sure that they're always in the perfect position. And if they're not, they're going to get burned. Well, now we have what I think will be a simpler defense to pick up, and we've got a more athletic guy. So if he finds himself out of position slightly, he's going to be able to recover a little bit and maybe not give up a huge play. Not to mention he's playing behind an incredibly improved defensive line, which a lot of his bad performances in college you can go back to and say he played behind a really bad defensive line and sometimes had to try to shed blocks, multiple blocks in one play, and it didn't work. We have a line that's going to open stuff up for him. So this dude could end up making plays. He could end up being a real asset to this defense and could just be that perfect partner next to Martinez. I think this is a fantastic pick. I think our defense has been screaming for athletic ability for a long time. We addressed it a little bit last year with picks like Josh Jones, but like this year has been like, there was a clear emphasis in this draft on picking up athletes, and it's, man, Oren Burks is probably the best athlete we picked up. So I'm jazzed about that one.
I mean, we're obviously talking about a changing of the guard in the defensive coordinator titles here in Green Bay. But at the same time, how many years has it been since the Packers have had the ability to cover the middle of the field? And I think that Oren Burks can help address that area with his speed and his size as well. So, I mean, you're talking about... You're talking about running backs getting open in the middle of the field. You're talking about the tight ends always being open in the middle of the field. So I'm hoping that Oren Burks can, you know, help with that a little bit. So, Dusty, what was your favorite pick from the Packers this year?
First of all, I just want to say I can't believe Brian just said Jake Ryan was solid. I'd never thought where Brian's like talking down at Jake Ryan like that. That was unexpected, Brian. I didn't care for it. and Blake Martinez as well. Blake Martinez was dynamite last year. So just, you know,
he's not that athletic guy. He's the solid, shut your mouth player in the middle of a defense.
Yeah, thank you, John.
You need those players, but you also need athletes around them. I meant no disrespect, especially to Blake Martinez.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here because you brought him up. You put him and Jake Ryan in the same breath. I just didn't like the way that whole thing went. I'm excited about Burks. I think he's going to be great. My favorite is Jamon Moore because this is one of the things, man, and I know we talked to you, John, you just mentioned changing the guard, D coordinator, and he may have just given Gut his wish list and said, give me guys like this. Give me these athletic guy attacking guys. Like, he may have just given profile and said, this is what I want. Because you could see that when they were taking. At the same time, I just had a number of flashbacks to, like, holy crap, we're just loading up on defense again. It's like, it seems like every year in the Capers era, we've talked about, like, where their first four picks were defensive picks. Like, yeah, that's cool. But, like, at some point, the offense starts to suffer. And then we saw some of that, you know, Jordy going down and, you know, Cobb's lost a step or two of speed. Quickness is still there, but top end speed is gone. And Adams took a step forward. But you look at that receiving core and you're like, okay, well, it's just not that impressive anymore. The running backs were good. The running backs are good. Hitting on both those guys last year was dynamite. But kind of going that many rounds of just defense is cool. It's exciting. That guy's going to be good. It's going to fit into this defense. It's going to be awesome. The defense should be great next year. Who's Rodgers throwing to? And if one of those guys go down, who is Rodgers throwing to? So as much as I like Geronimo Allison, like, thinking he's like the number three or something is terrifying to me. So, I mean, I love Moore. I live in SEC country. And so I get to see a lot of these guys. I didn't watch a ton of college football last year, but coming out of Missouri, 6'3", his 40 time, I don't know if he dropped a bit. I wasn't paying much attention to, like, the slide, but his 40 time was, I think, 4.6, which is not fast for wide receiver. If you watch him, he strikes me as a lot of kind of when Nelson came out, where Jordy Nelson had that slow 40 time. And sometimes it'll take him a little bit to get up to speed, but he's got those long strides. Like, if you watch any of his games, he's blowing past guys. Like, he's one of those guys, I think he plays faster than his 40 time indicates. And he also separates tremendously well at the line. He's big. He's a strong guy. He can create separation at the line. He's got a great first step to create separation. And then he's got those long strides to kind of get up to speed and blow past a guy. So I think if you're looking for a kind of a speed guy, your speed guy on the outside, kind of opposite Adams, man, I wouldn't be shocked if Moore. I mean, I don't know from day one, because he was a fourth round pick. I don't think he's going to be a star from day one. I don't think he's going to put up 1,000 yards or anything. But I do think he's going to be a reliable deep threat, and he's going to open stuff up underneath. Like, I'm adjust well to stuff in the air as well. Like, I'm really, really excited about what he did. There's someone, I can't remember his name. Crap. Sorry. Someone over at cover1.net wrote a thing about Jamon Moore and how he will fit into the Packers offense, and doing cut-ups of Packers offensive tape from the past couple years, as well as Moore's college tape, and kind of showing how some of his strengths fit into what the Packers need. It was just tremendous. If you get a chance, check that out. It's a cover1.net is where that was. And I know Moore did great in the red zone as well. So just all around, for when they picked him, kind of what he could bring the offense very early on in the season, I'm all in on Moore, man. I think he's going to be tremendous.
I like that. You could extrapolate that a bit and just say the wide receivers we drafted, because that's the same argument for them that I had for Oren Burks. Like, these dudes are all uber athletic. Say, like, they're all, like, tall. They're all fast. I love it.
It was between Moore and St. Brown. Because, yeah, St. Brown, I think, could be tremendous as well. Like, a lot of those guys fit that profile. I'm really excited about the wide receiving group they got.
And if out of these three, like, I think the odds are pretty high that out of these three, at least one of them turns out to be a legitimately good, like, consistent deep.
Brian, we'll get to it. We'll get to that, Brian.
I didn't say anything specific.
Okay. Just making sure you're not getting too far ahead of yourself here, bud. Hey, well, sorry to interrupt you, but it's my turn to talk, Brian. And my favorite pick was Jair Alexander. And I'll tell you why. I would love to see Jair Alexander become our punt return man. At bare minimum, if not more. As many of you heard throughout a lot of last season, as far as I'm concerned, Trevor Davis, you can quote the line from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, where he can die of you-know-what and rotten you-know-where. not Trevor Davis's...
Current John.
Not a Trevor Davis fan at all, and the highlights and just everything that Jair brings to the table, I think he has the attitude, number one, to just go out there and just be great at whatever he's doing for the Packers. And, mainly I know that I'm like expecting great things on him from the defensive side of the ball, but if I can just see that nice little, you know, Neon Deion action in the return game, holy buckets, man. It would be a dream come true. So please, Jair, live up to the hype. And I'm so happy that you're in Green Bay. You took that team photo with the Bears Still Suck sign, and you are now forever in Packer folklore. Just live up to the hype, dude. But yeah, guys, that is a draft right there. And I got to say, I believe in Goot even more so. I know we could sit here and we could talk about special teams a little bit, how we drafted a punter and a long snapper. We got a whole new punter gate situation going on where we're going to devote a whole other podcast to that, a nice little hour-long podcast to Puntergate, and keep that alive. But I'd say overall, I think the Packers did extremely well in the draft, and there's no reason for anyone to be, have ill thoughts towards it. I'll put it that way. But guys, that leads us to the Twitter questions. And Brian, you pretty much already said the question, and I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are on it. This question comes in from the Unknown Packers podcast, and that you can find them on Twitter at Unknown Packers. And the question is, out of Jamon, Q, and MVS, who are your favorites to not only make the team, but make an impact? Brian, where were you about 3 minutes ago?
All right, so they're referring to the three receivers who drafted: Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Equanimeous St. Brown. Like, dude, that's an all
good job, Brian,
right there. as far as making the team, I think Jamon Moore is a lock, and I think Valdes-Scantling is a lock. Mostly because there's going to be a lot of comparisons. If you haven't heard them already, you'll hear them about, I'm going to call him MVS, compared to Jeff Janis. His potential as a return man, his potential as a gunner, things that he can do on special teams. You can say anything negative you want about Jeff Janis, the receiver, but Jeff Janis, the special teams ace, was a fantastic player, and I think you might see some of that from MVS this year. So I think you'll see him as pretty much a lock to make the team because of what he can do there. As far as instant impact, I think Dusty summed it up pretty well. Jamon Moore, as the season goes on, I think you'll see his impact go up and up, and I think Joe Philbin is going to find a lot of creative ways to get him involved, especially if he can prove just a little bit that he can take the top off of a defense. That opens up a lot over the middle for Jimmy Graham. That opens up a lot on the outside, or really anywhere that you want to put Davante Adams. That opens up a lot in the intermediate area for Randall Cobb. Finding that deep threat, and if Jamon Moore can be that guy, that's a huge impact that he could potentially have. He has to take that step himself, but I think he can, and if he can just catch a few deep balls, that opens things up for our more elite players. So I think we have two locks of those three for making the roster, and Jamon Moore the more likely to have a big impact.
Anything to add, Dusty?
Yeah, I'm going to say all three of them are making the team. I don't know if they're going to be locks, but I think they're all three going to make it. I think, again, I don't love where the receiver position is at. And John, you hate Trevor Davis. I actually really like Trevor Davis, and I think he can be good. And I think Philbin could find ways to kind of get him involved in kind of the short passing game, just find ways to get him in space. I think that's where he could excel. I mean, beyond the deep threat capability, I think Trevor Davis with the ball in his hands is an absolute demon, and I think he could be amazing. The problem is, it's whatever going into year three, and part of that is because reasons, I don't know. He hasn't seen the field very much, and so it's tough to kind of love a guy too much that's going into his third year that hasn't really done much on the field itself at all. I mean, I make fun of Jeff Janis a lot for many, many reasons. but it was kind of the same thing with him. It was at some point the potential, the kind of the upside that you had in a guy, he has to see the field to recognize that, and I don't know if it's just not there with Davis or not.
He's too busy. He's too busy making bombs in the off season to put in the work, man.
That was, God, that was dumb. That we didn't even talk about. That was so dumb. Just so dumb. Just dumb.
I know.
It's like he never saw Meet the Parents. Like, you know, like it's just dumb.
I could see.
He probably never did. He's very young man.
Trust me, if I say I don't like a Packer player, like I actually mean that because I try to I love every Packer. And if I come out and say I don't like a Packer, it's because I put a lot of thought into it. I'm like, they don't bring any value to the team. They just make bombs.
Guys, I don't even think he makes them, John. I don't think he actually makes
them. Well, he does. So newsflash, he does.
I just watched, you know, Davis in, you know, preseason, and just whenever he touches the ball, he's just electric. He touches the ball like four times a year, and so it's exciting. So I'm gonna say they move on from Trevor Davis, and these three guys make the team. St. Brown was a guy I think a lot of guys were looking at, and Brian, that was your non-lock to make it. A lot of teams were kind of looking at that guy. I think that's a guy like once camp gets started. My prediction is that's going to be the big name coming out of camp. It's going to be, holy crap, did you see
what
that
guy
did?
Let's go.
I think all three are making it. It's just a gut feeling just based on where the receiver position are at. I think they want some new blood. I think they want some young blood. So I think all three guys are making it.
You know, I think that, you know, how many times do we sit here and talk about, you know, edge rushing, you know, during the season, maybe leading up to the draft. But, I mean, defensive back position and the wide receiver positions were huge areas of need. Mm-hmm. And what we got in both of those positions in this draft, I think should, again, just get us all excited. I'm excited about all these guys, and I have nothing more to add to what you guys brought. I tend to more lean towards agreeing with Dusty that all three of these guys make it because I do think that they are all capable of making it. And
won't be surprised at all.
And Jamal Moore is an absolute freaking monster. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the other guys bring to the table. But we have two more Twitter questions to get through, boys. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yes.
This one comes from Jeremy at the Jeremy Simmons. He says, first off, finally, I've been waiting for the draft podcast. Love it, Jeremy. Love it.
Again, Jordan burned the tapes. We're sorry, Jeremy.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Oh, and sorry if I might barf a little bit while reading this. He says, and do you see a spot for Trevor Davis? And who do you think our kick returner will be? Alexander or one of the receivers we drafted? It's not going to be Trevor Davis. Sorry, Jeremy. No. Not going to be him.
No, and we kind of touched on it. There might not be a place for Trevor Davis. If Trevor Davis wants to make this team, he has to show something as a receiver this year. We're at that point with him where it needs to be something consistent, and he has to show that he can catch a deep ball, that he can run routes, that he can read a defense. I don't particularly see those things happening. I think he might be one of those casualties of this draft. Among other names that Packers fans like, but maybe we'll get into that later. As far as who our kick returner will be, man, I really don't know at this point. I think MVS has a chance. Alexander probably has a chance, but his experience is more so with punt returns, I know. So we may not use him on kicks. Like, I really am not sure who. I would bet that MVS gets some of those. I would bet that Aaron Jones gets some. Man, I think it's going to be another year of going with one guy until he fumbles one, and then going with a hot hand, essentially. So it's anybody's guess.
All right, Dusty, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I just talk about Trevor Davis a lot. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he made the team. But like Brian said, like he has to show something as a wide receiver because – because all he showed as a punt returner last year was is his inability to let a ball go if it was inside the five. Oh,
he can fair catch the crap out of a ball at the 1 yard line, man.
I think, like, I still maintain, I've not heard anything. I still maintain that he would have been benched if that wasn't a coach's thing. I think the coaches told him Hundley came, because it didn't really start until after Hundley came in. I think coaches told him, we need to spark, see if you can make something happen, or else they would have benched him. Like, he did that too many times. I think part of that was on Davis. I think that was a coaching decision. So I'm not Maybe I'm just making excuses. I'm not putting that all on Davis. I think for through the first 6 weeks, they were the only team to not run a kickoff out of the end zone. Everything was a touchback. And then, like, Rodgers got it. Jared Hundley came in, and suddenly he's, like, 8 yards deep in the end zone returning. I think it was a coaching decision to have him try to provide a spark, and it failed. Outside of one game, outside of the Browns game, it failed every other time. Just every other time. But, yeah, I think he's got to show something as a receiver. And I think, again, based on what I've seen, based on kind of the short passing stuff, if you – I think this is what Philbin can do. If you try – if you get him in space, which is something McCarthy didn't really necessarily try to, like, scheme anyone open in space, Davis in space with the ball in his hands is just – is insane. Like, he's got just crazy skills. He's fast and he's quick. My gut feeling right now is that he doesn't make it. And so for punt returner, kick returner, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Like Alexander, I could see punt. I don't love the idea of putting your first or second round guy on a kick return. Cause just too many bad things could happen unless you're just kneeing it every time. At which point all you need is a sure-handed guy. So, do you guys remember, you brought up Aaron Jones. Do you guys remember when Najee Davenport was returning?
Oh, yes.
And it would take him like 10 yards to get up to speed, and he just run people like,
I've got a depiction of that tattooed on my back.
That's the show for that. Well, what about Jamal Williams? Just put Jamal Williams back there returning kicks and just like a Sonic the Hedgehog getting up to speed, just start bowling people over. Coins are flying out everywhere.
You're very close to who I think she'll be returning kicks for us.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. I'll go Williams just because I like the idea of kind of a bigger guy doing that. Or, again, I don't love maybe who could be your number two receiver. So I don't love Moore, but Moore seems like it'd be kind of perfect for kick returns. He's a guy who maybe like takes a while to get up to speed, but once he does, he can actually cut fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Once he's up to speed, he's got those long strides. I wouldn't mind seeing Moore returning kicks. You know, more often than not, they're going to be neat anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, that's my
give thought. Give me some Ty Montgomery returning kicks for us this year.
Oh yeah, he did for a bit, didn't he?
He did. He did. He has experience, and when you're talking about, you know, a 1-2 punch of Williams and Jones in the backfield, you still have to find a way to utilize Ty Montgomery because the guy is not dead, and the guy can still play football. And he's going to get his throughout the season as it goes on, but I think being able to utilize him in that role gives him some opportunity to continue to establish himself. And he has a history and he's elusive. I mean, him just gaining yards and, you know, just little dump off passes, it was phenomenal for us. So he has elusiveness. He's got speed. He's got size. So I would not mind to see Trevor.
Freudian slip.
Oh boy, I need to go.
Whoops!
I need to go.
John just revealed his true feelings.
I need to go drink a whole bottle of Listerine right now, real quick. But yeah, I would love to see Ty Montgomery back there.
I like that pick, John. I like that pick.
Thank you, guys. Sometimes I'll bring a little bit of value to this podcast besides a stupid laugh and a joke here and there. Come on. I'm so sorry, Steven JF4, who sent us in a Twitter question, because I already blew it for you.
I was wondering when you were gonna get to that.
Yep, point. I've already
ruined it.
I've already
it happened too.
I've already blown it for you. If you're hearing this, I'm sorry. But I just want to make sure that I give you the adequate shout out on Twitter. You can find Steven on Twitter at StevenFJ4. JF4.
That's JF4.
I owe you like a beer now or something.
Oh man, it is so far past John's bedtime right now.
It is a little bit. It's been a long day. Not gonna lie, but hey, we're still here. We're still kicking. But yeah, we've established who our favorite picks are, but we do appreciate the love on the Twitter universe, guys, and keep sending them in. And yes, thank you if you made it this far for listening. We have final thoughts coming up. And Brian, what are your final thoughts this evening?
I've got two, John. I've got two. One that Dusty alluded to earlier when talking about that first round pick that the Seahawks made drafting a running back for some reason. I just want to sit and I want us all to smile and laugh and just share a moment together while thinking about how bad the Seahawks offseason has been. I mean, they've done nothing but subtract, it feels like. They've lost receivers, they've lost offensive linemen, they've lost defensive players on just about every level, and they haven't replaced them. Like, this team is about to take a nosedive. I feel pretty confident in saying that. Their failure, year in and year out, to even make an attempt at addressing that offensive line just baffles me. I understand if you don't want to give big free agent dollars or spend a first round pick on it, but man, you got to spend some picks and some money. Like, if I was Russell Wilson at this point, I'd be considering retiring on principle because, man, like, that guy is going to need a lot of nano bubbles to recover from all the hits he's about to take next year. I almost feel bad for him. Almost. I mean, not quite. He is a Seahawk, but almost feel bad for him.
He's also a Badger, too.
He was a Badger for a year.
For one year, it doesn't count.
Has to be at least 2 years. But yeah, I look at their offseason and I'm hard pressed to find a team that's had a worse one. Maybe Miami, but even so, man, I don't understand what the Seahawks are doing at all. And I've been one to say over the years that I wouldn't mind Ted Thompson's eventual replacement being John Schneider, but Schneider is not passing the test of time right now, and things might get really ugly there in the next couple of years. So for all the trash talking they've done over the last 7 or 8 years, for all of the elitism and all of the bandwagon fans that have jumped on, guys, enjoy the next couple of years of Seahawks football, because I think it's about to get real ugly.
Burn.
So enjoy it. Burn. My other final thought is a congratulations to HaHa Clinton Dix, who just graduated from college how many years after leaving it. That's pretty super awesome.
It's amazing.
Because I'll tell you right now, if after my junior year of college I started making millions of dollars every year, there's no way I would have gone back to college. Not a chance. I am not the scholastic type. that may shock you to hear, but I am not the scholastic type. So mad props to that dude. He's awesome, and I am very proud of him and happy for him for getting his degree. And haha, if you want to come on and talk about school, I will pretend to be the scholastic type on this podcast if you want to
talk about it. He's going to wear his glasses. That means just Brian's going to wear his glasses. That's all that means.
Boom. That's all.
Well, your ability to say scholastic four times is amazing.
Case in point. So true. Thank you, John. So those are my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. You can find us at @PTTF_podcast.
Dusty, your final thought.
I'll hear John say
scholastics.
I've got two, one kind of related to football, one not. But related to football, one is going to be short. You know, they've been saying the Browns are like, you know, Packers East. Did you see the moves they made the other day? They picked up Vogel.
Yep.
After the Packers dropped him, and they signed Joel Stave. Yeah, watch college football with the sound on mute.
Another
like they
Badger.
Really are. It's just every single thing. It just seems like it's not. I mean, he was never a Packer, obviously, but you know, Wisconsin ties with playing at Wisconsin. It's very, very odd to see. It's just a whole bunch of ex-Packers Wisconsin guys. I kind of like it, but it's just bizarre. Like, looking at that roster is bizarre.
It's true.
I love it. I love it. I hope they win two games next year. at least two games next year. My last final thought is, man, we never get to go out. And I've got two children. One is getting ready to turn 3, which is bonkers to me. And the other is, 4 months. Yeah, about 4 months old. And so me and my wife have not been out together in a very, very long time. And so this past weekend was her birthday. And so we got babysitting lined up for the day. And we got to hit the town. And by hit the town, I mean, we put new cabinet doors in our kitchen, which was sweet.
Nice.
Because we had no cabinet doors on there because we're still trying to fix up the house, and that was a low priority. We went to Cheesecake Factory,
which,
God, I got so sick. I got so sick.
No.
Man, they've got, we each got, we each got two pieces of cheesecake. it was a bad idea, but also a really good idea. Their chocolate chip cookie dough cheesecake is just bonkers good. It's so ridiculously good. So that was awesome. And then we got to go watch a movie. We've not been to go see a movie together in a very long time. We got to go see The Avengers.
Oh, it was so good.
It was so good. Like, I love the Marvel movies. I used to read Marvel comics as a kid. I've been reading Marvel comics since I was a kid. I still read Marvel comics. I just read them on my iPad now. And I've branched out a bit in my comic reading, but, I mean, the Marvel, what they've done with those movies, I think is nothing short of just amazing. Like, they've built this whole entire universe. I've been on record many, many times as saying what I love about a lot of movies is kind of how you expand the universe. You see kind of how this world looks from different angles. And Marvel's done that very, very well. Not all the movies hit, but I don't know that I've seen a, well, instead, I don't know if I've seen a really truly bad one, but then I remember I saw Iron Man 3. And that was really bad. But, yeah, I haven't really loved, like, as much as I've loved most of the individual installments, I've not really loved the Avengers movies so far. Like, the first one was fine, and the second one I liked better, but it was also just kind of fine. It was too Hawkeye heavy. This one, holy crap. Like, no spoilers. I think, so the Russo brothers directed it, and they used to do, I think they got their start, or at least did some Arrested Development episodes, which has been fun to watch, because they've hidden a couple Arrested Development Easter eggs in their movies. They did the stair car in Captain America Civil War, like the Bluth family stair car at the airport fight. And in this one, they had Tobias Funke in with the collector stuff, which was pretty funny. like, it's a blink and you miss it thing. But what they've done, man, like, they took – I honest to God thought it was going to be 3.5 hours. It was 2.5 hours,
okay,
which is about the length of his movies anymore. There was never a dull moment. It never felt like it was dragging. You had an insane number of characters. I think the only two main characters left out were Hawkeye, who's never actually had an official full movie of his own, so we don't count him, and Ant-Man, who's had one movie. They were the only two not in it. Everyone else was in it. You're spanning the globe. You're going from area to area. So many different locations, so many different stars. It never felt bloated. It never felt like anyone got short shrift. It was such a well-told story, mm-hmm. and everything was woven together so well. Like, I knew how it was going to end. I kind of knew it was coming. Even then, like, the build-up to get to that point was just amazing, mm-hmm. and just how the characters played off each other. I thought it's not my favorite Marvel movie. To me, it felt more like the end of a big event than it did an actual movie. Which is kind of odd. It did feel kind of more like a comic book in that way, but like, it was far and away my favorite Avengers movie. I think what they were able to do with something of this magnitude, of all of these 30 some odd movies building up to it, was just nothing short of amazing. The writing was tremendous. I thought all the acting was tremendous. Everyone played well off each other. The CGI, like, Thanos was mainly CGI. Like, he looked amazing the entire movie. Like, everything was just. I'm ranting a bit, but yeah, I didn't know what to expect coming in because I didn't really care for the first two Avengers movies. This one blew me away. I think they've already filmed the second part of it, and that's coming out next year. I cannot wait for part two because the first part was just absolutely tremendous. Brian, you feel the same way?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I liked the first two Avengers movies more than you apparently did. The first one more than the second one. But, man, this I was somewhat set up for disappointment because I was fresh off of seeing Black Panther, which I thought was just an unbelievably well-told story.
We actually watched Black Panther the night before. We finally watched Black Panther the night before. We had a book.
I was legitimately worried that having seen Black Panther so recently, I was just going to be disappointed by this. But, man, this matched it. It was so unbelievably well told. I loved it.
Yeah, it genuinely tense at a lot of points as well. Like, it was really just amazing. Can't say enough good things about it. Looking forward to, I guess, Ant-Man is next, and then Captain Marvel, and then Avengers 2, Avengers Part 4, I guess, next summer. But yeah, just absolutely.
That's going to be your 3.5 hour movie right there. That thing's going to be long.
Dude, that's going to be six. That movie's going to be 6 hours. There's going to be directors cut of that. It's going to be like legitimately 6 hours.
Dude, and I would sit there for 6 hours in that theater and watch every second.
Absolutely would. Absolutely would. So yeah, those are my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely. I'm currently going through the 96 Packers season and posting some stuff up, which has been fun. And then All 22 Talk, I've been doing GIFs of the Rams 2017 season, which I'm, I think, week 11 now. And that's just been tremendous to watch. That offense is just a blast. So that's where you can find me there.
All right.
It's kind of funny how my final thought might play into yours, Dusty. Awesome. And I only have the one, and for the first time in my life, I feel like I've seen a movie without seeing a movie. And I mean, every single person is talking about Infinity War, Avengers. Anywhere, everywhere you go, you can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've missed it so far. I'm late to the party, and you know, I already know how it ends because everyone just thinks it's so awesome to throw out the spoilers, which is really cool of you people. Grow up and learn a little bit. You don't have to ruin everything for everyone, but needless to say, I will still see it. And even though I've already sort of seen it through the eyes of the interweb, it's fine. And, you know, I have no qualms about it, but I'm glad to hear that, you know, two very respectable people in my life absolutely love this movie, and I will see it, and I will let you guys know what I think of it. But that is it for my final thoughts, and ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this podcast. I mean, I thought we did really good tonight, guys. I'm proud of us, too. I think we should all pat ourselves on the back. I got to try and say a word that I haven't said in many years, scholasticist, and I'm learning more and more about the Packers through everything, and yeah, it's good. It's a good time. It's a good time to be a Packer fan, and you know, we'll be here throughout the whole off season. Just any kind of news that pops up, you know where to check us out at. We are Pack to the Future, as always. Check out the website, follow our writers, check out the stuff that they're bringing to the table. Phenomenal writers. There's some film being brought to the table, not only via Dusty, but through Coach Club. Just, guys, this is an exciting time for the Packers, exciting time for Pack to the Future. Never forget that we are Pack to the Future. And thanks for tuning in. Rate and review us on iTunes, please. We'd love it. I love you all. Peace out. Go Pack, go.